look. They try to go wild. I've got the move. They really move them. I said chill. Up and down they're fine. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Web Cave. I'm Dan. I'm here with my esteemed co-host, Babo. How the hell you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. I just want to start it off and say I am not your boy toy.
Well, I'm just a sexy boy myself. So, now that we got all that clarified, welcome to the Web Cave, ladies and gentlemen. We're here to talk all comic book bullshit and everything that goes on in between the movie stuff, TV. But today in particular, we have a special episode. We're finally getting around to reviewing Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. What do you think about that, Bob?
Pretty good. Did you like the flick?
I like the flick. I really did.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I thought it was really good. I didn't think there was a bit. We'll get more into it. I think we should do the comic shit first. But
yeah,
honestly, a good movie, and I would recommend it. If I'm saying spoiler free.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. We also have some comics to get into today. We have the Hulk Worldbreaker.
Number three.
We have Blue Beetle Graduation Day number three. And we have the Invincible Iron Man number two.
Yes, sir.
And if we have time later, we might go over some Snyderverse plans that I found.
Oh, here we go.
Maybe do a little compare contrast to what Gunn's got going on right now. Everybody likes to kind of, you know, blow the ice pop of Snyder. And listen, I'm a Zack Snyder fan as much as anybody, but some of these plans are kooky. So it'd be fun to go through it and talk about them a little bit. But we'll save all that for the end. We'll start. You want to start with Worldbreaker?
No, actually, I want to start with a couple other fucking things that you missed, okay? I'm sorry. I mean, the attitude wasn't needed. I apologize.
I was about to say, you're being fucking mean, but what do you want to do?
I got a little hostile. Well, I was honestly a little insulted that you completely fucking forgot to start off. Past right to the comic books, dude. Like, you've totally forgot about the Flash trailer that dropped and the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer that dropped.
No, they sucked. No, I mean,
you literally called me and told me you had a raging hard-on after the Flash movie aired, or the Flash trailer aired during the Super Bowl.
You know what, Bob? Some things we say in confidentiality. So, the good people don't need to know when I'm hard and when I'm not.
Just so you guys know, live action Flash gets Dan there. It gets him that level.
It gets Dan going. I was really into this trailer. Let's talk about that first, because as much as, and I like the Guardians thing too, but the Flash thing was, it was only a teaser during the Super Bowl, but then it told you to go and watch the regular one that was, you know, that just dropped. So we watched that. We go over, we watch that. Holy fucking shit. This thing looks amazing, bro.
Nice.
I don't even know what else to say. What's one thing? Just if you had to think of one thing you saw in the trailer that really gets you excited, what would it be?
I'm not going to lie to you. It's to see this version. Not really necessarily this version, but to see a high-budget Flash in live action using his powers. We kind of got to see it with the time reversal when in Zack Snyder's Justice League when he ran back time to save everybody. But, like, I'm talking, like, full-on, like, creates wind tornadoes with his arm, does an infinite mass punch. Like, you know what I mean? Phases in and out of solid option shit. Like, an actual movie with live action that actually shows his powers. Like, for real. Like, on a high budget. Not like the CW where they, like, fucking get by the skin of their ass with low budget.
Yeah. The fact that we got a big budget, you know, real world, like, this has everything behind it, and it's about the Flash. And it's all about the Flash. I mean, there's a lot of theatrics in there, too. You're going to have a few Batman. One thing I'm personally excited for, and we've been hearing a lot about this character lately, especially what they're going to do in the future with her, Supergirl looks fucking awesome.
She does, but I'm a little controversial on that subject.
Why?
For one, I haven't seen her play Supergirl, so I'm not judging her based on her performance yet because I haven't seen it. This is solely based on what I know of the actress from her past and her physical appearance. If James Gunn's redoing the universe, I kind of hope he picks a different Supergirl. If he's doing the Woman of Tomorrow movie, I hope he picks a different actress. Let her have her moment in this movie, but I think Supergirl should be played by somebody else.
Do you think she needs to be blonde?
She needs to be real skinny and, like, not real skinny, but, like, skinny, but, like, a little, like, thick. It needs to be, like a white blonde girl. I don't think doing the short-haired black girl.
She's not black, is she?
Not black. I meant to say black hair, not black girl. My bad.
I was about to say, dude. But
she's probably, she's a decent actress. Like, from what I've heard of her past roles, like, she's not a bad actress at all, but from her physical appearance, she doesn't look the part at all.
She might not look the part, but when you see her in action, she does look the fucking part. And I think she looks badass, to be honest.
She did. She did look pretty cool. But like I said, if they're going to move forward and make Supergirl like a universal character, like it seems like Gunn's going to be doing, I would pick somebody else.
Well, I mean, she's probably just there for that. You know?
Probably.
She might just disappear in the fucking universe after. She might get erased or who knows. But if she's the one to do Woman of Tomorrow, I'm actually not mad at it. Because that's a different type of Supergirl anyway. And that's kind of a more savage one, too.
I don't know. I'll make my opinion on that after I see this movie. I want to actually see her play Supergirl first.
I was happy they
That's
showed Affleck in the trailer.
Me too, because it seemed like Affleck still had a dominant role. Like I was talking to you about, it seems like they're doing Flashpoint, but they're including other villains from the universe in this movie, because obviously Michael Shannon's General Zod's back. And as you know, if you've watched Man of Steel, he was locked away in the Phantom Zone. Actually, no, he had his fucking neck snapped.
In his fucking neck.
He died. I forgot about that.
Yeah, bro.
But
you got fucked up.
One thing about this movie, about the trailer, if you could think of anything you disliked about it, what is it?
Something that I don't like. I don't give a shit about multiple berries. That means nothing to me. I get the whole multiverse shit, but I don't need two Ezras running around. I'm cool with, you know, a different character, to be honest with you. I don't need the team to include. Like, I get it's going to be him, Supergirl, Batman, probably Keaton, and Affleck at some point, but I don't need two Barry Allens.
Right.
You could have gave us Jay or something cool like that, you know.
Or Wallace or something, yeah.
Yeah. So I'd say
agree.
That's something I thought was kind of stupid. What do you got for Is there anything you thought sucked?
That's what I thought sucked, but more or less left out. This looks like a really, really big movie, and like I said, it seems like it's based on Flashpoint. I know that's what I was about to say earlier that I didn't say. It seems like Michael Keaton is playing Flashpoint Batman, so instead of Thomas Wayne, it's Michael Keaton's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And Affleck still buries home regular Batman.
That is what it seems like.
But what I was going to say, what I disliked about the trailer is for this big movie and everything that they showed, and it seems like they're going to show Flashpoint, they didn't hint at any villain in the movie. They showed Michael Zod, General Zod, but like that's not his villain. They didn't show a potential of a reverse Flash. They didn't show like a Zoom, and they didn't show Godspeed like anybody.
No,
they didn't show any villain for who Flash is going to be fighting. They just showed him running through time and then him walking up behind his mother and then a couple of flips of some action scenes. They didn't do anything with the villain. We're still clueless on who the villain is. I mean, if you're a comic fan and it seems like Flashpoint, I mean, it's probably going
to
be
reverse
Flash.
It's fucking Thor.
We don't know that.
Or Thawne.
We don't know that, though. They could do something fucking different.
No, but you don't need to know. There's so much shit going on in that movie. Let's have one thing be a surprise. You already know about Keaton.
It would have been cool.
Huh?
It would have been cool, like the last panel of the trailer. The dude in yellow ran across the screen instead of fucking Barry in the red suit. The guy in the yellow suit ran across the screen, like, or something like that. Like, that would have been cool. Just a little flip of, like, here you go.
It would have been cool. I don't disagree with you, but I feel like it, because another critique that I would have is that, and this is shit we already knew anyway because of how the internet works now, but I feel like it's like you gave us all your spice here. All the hooks, all the like potential twists, like I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a shit ton in this movie, and there's a lot that we didn't see that. So when I see it, I'm sure my opinion's going to change. But right now, kind of feels like one of those trailers that kind of threw everything at you and kind of like gives you most of the movie. Like none of the plot, but all like the big hooks, like, oh, Keaton's here, Affleck's here, Supergirl.
Yeah, kind of like Black Adam.
Yeah, a little bit. Like it just felt like it was kind of giving us all of that when it's like it could have been a surprise. Like Affleck,
there
because
is
it's
one
Denver,
thing, though.
Denver, go ahead.
No, you're good. You were talking.
I think, like, the only other reveal they could do is if Wonder Woman showed up, Gal Gadot.
Right, or Aquaman.
Yeah.
Or maybe even Ray Fisher showed up. That'd be fucking crazy.
I mean, it would be sick, but since it was, like, publicly talked about, they
got
written out, yeah. Yeah, I don't think so.
Only thing that I think that I would be upset about is when this movie come out and Reverse Flash is in it, is if Ezra Miller is also playing Reverse Flash, I'm going to be pissed.
Oh, yeah. That's fucking stupid. I don't think they would do
that. Because I seen a fan art on Twitter of Ezra Miller wearing a yellow Flash costume. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. I swear to God, if he's playing two Barry Allens and Reverse Flash, that's ridiculous.
It's like people wanted them to fucking recast, and Warner Brothers is like, you're getting three of them.
Hey, you're getting three roles.
It's funny as fuck. They're like, yo, dude, we don't want him as Barry anymore. It's like, you're getting him as three fucking Barry, or two Barrys and a fucking Thawne, and you're going to like it. And
there's somebody else.
If it's not somebody else, it's going to be fucking ridiculous. Who, like, I mean, the guy who played it on the show did a really good job. That's the one thing I will say about that show, is that I think the Reverse Flash was done pretty well.
I thought Grant Gustin did a really good job playing Barry Allen, too. Like, he plays a way more accurate Barry Allen than Ezra does.
It's very comic accurate, yes. But also, it's comic accurate in a negative way, too, because he does have that Silver Age Barry kind of where he's a bit boring, to be honest.
Yeah,
Barry's just like a nice
guy. That's what I was saying. Like, the show's boring.
Yeah, he's a bit boring, which is like a lot of people said, like Barry was a bit boring personality-wise until like Rebirth, and now he's a very different character. But that's how Grant Gustin feels a little bit. Ezra, at least, he's bringing something to the role, and I think it's going to be – I don't think – like he still seems kind of funny, but I think it's going to be taken a little more seriously. I like the line about like – why save this universe is like, because this is the one that my mom lives in or some shit like that. I think like this could have a lot of heart to it that we don't realize. And I don't think like, even though it looks very cool and it looks very epic and like, it's going to be battle scenes and fucking like him going back in time and doing all this cool shit. I don't think it's going to be like a Black Adam to where it's just one constant action scene throughout the whole fucking movie. And the plot just
no,
kind of,
I think it'll have around. It'll definitely have some plot to it. Batman's involved in it.
But even so, the story with him and his mom, like I think they're going to get pretty emotional. I think it's going to be really good. Yeah. All right.
We'll see.
So, yeah, that trailer, I'm excited for the movie. You're excited for the movie. We can't fucking wait, so.
Yeah, very excited.
Now, the other trailer you talked about, from your favorite director and universe builder of all time, James Gunn, we have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Doesn't look bad. It looks funny.
It looks good.
It looks about equally as good as all the other ones. The only thing I want to say now is that Will Poulter, whatever that kid's name is, he's going to fucking suck as Adam Warlock. He looks like an absolute idiot in the costume.
Well, he's severely miscast. Because I like
severely miscasted. Yeah, I like the kid too. Like he's a funny and he's a good actor, but like he should never have been casted for this role.
Not
he
even
looks
just
absolutely
funny though.
Nothing the part.
Not even just funny though, because he was good in Maze Runner and he was kind of a bad guy for that.
Yeah, like he's a good actor, but this isn't the role for him at all.
No, Adam Warlock is completely different.
That's like a Chris Hemsworth kind of dude.
Yeah.
Not fucking the kid whose nutsack got bit by a tarantula and we're the Millers.
Some guy that got bit in the nutsack by a tarantula. It sucks when that's all you're ever known for.
Dude, that movie's funny as hell. No regret, no regrets.
That's funny as fuck.
But yeah, it looks pretty good. It doesn't look nearly as good as Flash does, but it looks pretty good.
I think it looks fire. And I agree it does not look as good as Flash does, but I think if you're a Guardians fan, you're going to enjoy this. And I think it's going to be a good, like, send-off for the series. Like, I think Gunn's leaving Marvel with a bang. Like, I don't think it's going to be shitty. I don't know if it's going to burn the world down either or do anything majorly crazy. But I think it's going to be a really fun movie.
I'm interested. The only thing I'm honestly interested the most about this movie is to see how Batista writes it off. Because Batista's made it very publicly known like that he's like done with it, like playing this role.
Yeah, this is his last.
Like he's like done with it. He doesn't want to do it anymore. He hasn't really like enjoyed doing it very much. So like he wants to be done with it. So I'm kind of interested to see how he writes off Drax.
I think he's gonna get
he's
a nice
ending. He's made a character that like it's not really that great in the comics, and he's made him pretty awesome.
Yeah, Drax is utterly forgettable in the comics. And Batista turned him into something awesome. But also,
like,
Batista...
You gotta really look for a fucking Drax comic book if you want to read a Drax book. Like, just Drax. You gotta really fucking look for it.
And it probably sucks. But you can't blame Batista for wanting to move on, because apparently the makeup process is a lot. From what he said, and also, you know, he's been doing some serious work lately, and like, you know, Academy.
And he's one of those like body dysphoria kinds of people who's like nervous about his body, and is like ashamed to have his body like shown.
Well, he's getting old too, and he's been a bodybuilder for so long, so it probably does.
Yeah, kind of, I guess he's always been like that. I guess he's always been like self-conscious about the way he looks with his shirt off and shit. And, like, he's always made it an issue. Like, he's the only actor of Marvel who doesn't wear a shirt.
Yeah.
He's like made a big deal about it, and like it's always made him uncomfortable or whatever. For a big dude, he's soft.
He is, but he's also a badass motherfucker, too. He used to be a bouncer.
Oh, yeah, I love Batista.
I love
Batista. Even when I was a little kid, I always thought he was one of the best wrestlers.
He's one of my favorites. Are you ready to fucking talk about some comics, dude?
Let's talk about some comics, dude. You want to start with the shittiest one and work for the better ones?
Sure.
Well, actually, they were all kind of even this week, to be honest.
I think they were all kind of even, too, but I wouldn't call any of them shitty.
No, I wouldn't call any of them shitty either. All right, let's just start with Blue Beetle. I thought Blue Beetle was the worst of the three.
I severely disagree, but written by Josh Truo, or Trugio, whatever the fuck.
But,
yeah.
I didn't really like... I don't know.
What the fuck?
It just didn't grab me. I was really excited for the series, and then this is the one where the girl shows up, right? Cord.
You did not just call Cord a girl, did you?
No, the family member of her.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or of them.
But also, this is where the multiple Beatles are showing up. This is basically...
Oh, yeah.
It's
half two and three together.
I thought this fucking issue picked up the series major. Like, I was getting a little... Like, I wasn't bored, but I was getting a little, all right, let's do something. I liked the art a lot, and, you know, the writing's kind of sharp and funny. But I did think, like, something needs to happen soon. I thought this issue was great. I loved him teaming up with Starfire. I thought Starfire was bad fucking ass, like she usually is. She was cool. I love seeing Ted Kord do his thing, and his little interaction with Batman was fucking hilarious. When when Batman's like, are you sure you can do that? He's like, well, yeah, like, I know everything about the Reach, so yeah, I'm the fucking guy. Like, he kind of flexed on Batman.
Yeah.
Like, you go, Ted.
I actually take back what I said, because the entire time I was thinking about issue two. Issue two I wasn't very fond of.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the one where, like, the relative of Cord, the villain or whatever, shows up.
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking of two. That one I didn't like. But yeah, this one with all the other Beatles and shit, with Batman trying to protect Beetle.
Yeah, he's trying to... Yeah, and I thought it was really... And I like how Ted is kind of like this big brother role almost, or not even... I'd say big brother, but like a mentorship to Jaime. And he doesn't want to give Batman any details. And he's like, dude, the kid's a fucking, like, he's good. Fucking leave him alone. Like, and Batman's like, no. Like Batman was very Batman and Ted Kord was very Ted Kord. I thought it was a fun interaction between the two. Where it's like the dark, it's like two teachers and one's like the really strict, you know, no fucking nonsense, do the task teacher, and then the other one's like, let's play games to fucking learn. Like, it felt like one of those relationships. And I just, because I love fucking the second Blue Beetle. I think Ted Kord's hilarious. But I thought him, you know, and he's got a big role in this. And I thought Jaime's starting to step up. He's starting to grow up through this whole thing. And there was some badass action in this, too. I would give this a 7 out of 10. I thought this was a hell of an issue.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. It was a pretty good one. Like I said, I take back what I said at the start because I was thinking of issue 2, not 3.
No, I feel you. I do think this series does need a little more. And it does, like, I wouldn't say to pick up because I think this kind of picked up. But I do think there's a, like... I hope some big
another supporting character.
What's up?
I think he needs another supporting character, like one that he firmly rides with.
Yeah, I don't, well, because is Starfire going to be that? Who knows? I like them two.
I don't
together.
Know. I don't think it should be Starfire. I think it should be like John, or it should be maybe
John
Damian. No, I don't know about Damian. Maybe like Wallace West, Black Wallace.
I mean, I wouldn't be mad
somebody
at it.
From, or like Beast Boy or something. Like somebody, like a, somebody from the Titans.
Bro. Fucking Starfire is in the Titans, dude.
No, I know, but I'm talking like somebody that's not like one of the founding members and like one of the higher
She's
ups
not.
In the Titans. Like,
she was one of the additions with Beast Boy. They added them at the same time.
Yeah, but she was banging fucking Dickie.
Yeah, that doesn't make her older though. You don't get.
I'm talking about. I'm wording what I want to fucking say wrong. Okay.
Okay.
I'm a little stoned.
So
I'm slurring my words here. So.
I do agree with you that I think Beast Boy and Jaime would be a really fucking fun team up, and I do think, I like if it was him instead of her, I wouldn't be mad. But I don't think that she I think she's still good.
I just think it should be somebody who has had less of a spotlight in the past than Starfire has. Because, like, Starfire has gotten a lot of the spotlight because, like I said, for the longest time she was with Grayson, so, like, all those Titan comics together, she's on the cover of most of them. She's one of the forefronts of the group because of her relationship with Grayson. And, like, et cetera, et cetera. And like, if he used a different member of the Titans that's not so popular, like Wallace, Damian, John, who's not even a member of the Titans, but who should be a member of the Titans.
Well, I'll give you Beast Boy, but, like, John and Damian are, like, fronting the universe right now. So I think they are getting enough exposure, considering, you know, all that John just did in Dark Crisis, and Damian kind of has his own event right now. But
I
see what you're saying.
I want him in Titans.
Yeah.
I don't see why it doesn't make sense to me that like Clark and John's around and John's not a member of the Titans. It like doesn't make sense to me.
What I don't like about this is continuity wise, like they don't even acknowledge that he just dealt with Dark Crisis. Like, is this before that or like Jaime was on that Justice League team, technically. They didn't fucking do anything, but fucking John got Jaime together.
Yeah.
On that. Jaime was on that team. So
Starfire was, she?
No, Starfire wasn't. She was fighting with the Titans. But,
Was she?
Yeah. And she's on that Titans team now that's, you know, the new league, apparently. But, yeah, she was fighting with the Titans when Beast Boy got shot and all that because she was defending Titans Academy with Dick.
Gotcha.
I just thought she was a good guest spot, but I don't need to see her in every issue. Like, if she goes away now and then we get Beast Boy or somebody, yeah, cool. When she kissed that one dude, I had to remember that Dick was with Barbara still. It was like, hey now.
Hey now.
Don't be fucking tugging dudes out of nowhere. Classy. Love you, Shan.
Love you too.
Yeah, I give it a 7 out of 10. I thought it was a good issue.
Yeah, I agree. 7 out of 10.
All right. Now we're going to go on to a man who is known to enjoy a drink or two or 10. My boy, Iron Man. The Invincible Iron Man number 2, written by Gary Duggan. And, yeah. Written or art by Juan Fregeri and Brian Valenza. Ironheart shows
up. The artwork was really good, but I didn't think the story was very good, this book.
I agree.
This whole fucking, you tortured me, but Tony's like, I didn't do anything. Like, it was pretty stupid.
Yeah, I like the dialogue. I think, like, you know, I think Duggan does understand Tony, and I think, like, the way Tony talks. Like, I'm reading it as Downey Jr. Like, it's like, it makes sense. Yeah. It feels like Tony Stark speaking. But the plot itself isn't really doing much for me in this issue. I like the first issue a lot better.
The only thing I thought that was cool was that Ironheart has the 10 rings.
Yeah. It did make me want to go back and read that, though, where she got
it. Yeah, to find out how the fuck she got it.
I like Ironheart. I think she's an underrated... I think she's one of those that pick up the mantle that's not as bad as people say she is. Like, she's a legacy hero that I don't think gets enough love. But I can see why, too.
Right.
I thought it was okay. I think, you know, they didn't fight for very long to say one-on-one on the cover, but it was a good issue. It wasn't a great issue. I do like the art. I think it's probably the best art out of the three. And I like Jaime's art a lot, but I think Invincible Iron Man is probably the best art out of the three.
Yeah, definitely.
So the art, fucking awesome. The story, eh. They kind of just kind of glossed over the whole alcohol shit in the first one, too. It's like they talk about it a little bit on the news report and shit, but...
Yeah, because then they even said in the book that was just kind of a quick rundown of his origin, like, about him. Now they're kind of getting to, like, what's going on around in the universe.
Yeah. Feels like they're just trying to go through the history a little fast.
Yeah, because, I mean, I get it, because, like, Iron Man's been around for fucking 80 years. I mean, you should get it at this point.
Yeah.
It's like Batman, like we don't need to see, and Superman, like we don't need to see this origin again.
Yeah, we know what happened with Superman. Everybody fucking knows, dude. I give it a 6 out of 10. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I'd say the same. 6.5, probably.
All right. Last book. Written by Greg Pak, art by Carlo Pagulin and Manuel Garcia. We have Planet Hulk Worldbreaker number 3. I don't know about you, Bobby. I've been saying this whole time that this series needs to pick up because I'm about to drop it. Now, this wasn't like a Black Adam, you know, 6 to where I thought it went from like a 4 to a 9. But I do think that this issue picked up. I thought the action was really good. There was a lot of smashing. And I thought Korg was a real highlight.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the action picked up too much. They just showed it. It just showed that there's going to be a lot of action because they woke up at it.
Yeah.
Now, next book is what I'm very excited for. Now I feel like now Banner's woken up. Shit's about to hit the fucking fans.
I feel like MCU fans don't really understand who Korg is.
No. They just think he's a funny talking dude.
Yeah, he's a joke in the movies, but, like, I keep seeing him
in
these
books.
He's
a fucking gladiator in fucking comics.
Yeah, he's kind of the fucking man. Like, he's sick. He's kind of a badass. He's like another, like, the Thing almost. But a little, I mean, I find him really cool.
I would take the Thing over Korg, but yeah, basically.
Yeah, me too. But I do think the Korg, like, especially he had a few moments in this where it's like, holy shit, Korg ain't fucking around.
He is a pretty good character. Yeah, you're right. Definitely a lot of people don't realize. That, like, he's actually like that. He's not just this funny, oh, okay, I don't know,
yeah,
kind of character.
Oh, that's not it. That's not it.
For that's Superman. Not it. He's playing the Fortnite.
Yeah, I like this issue. Like I said, or like you said, we're going to be getting a Woken Up Banner soon, so that's exciting. The side characters are okay. I don't, you know, it's all right. I like what they're trying to do. Even though it's called World Breaker, they're doing a lot of world building here. And the Hulk is a cool mythology, and I'm not hating it, but it's not the best shit that Marvel's got going on right now either. Let's be honest. I would give the book a 6.5 out of 7. Out of 10.
Yeah, I would give it a 7. I would give it a 7 because of the potential it has for the next book.
I thought it really rose up in quality compared to the first two, but I'm still not quite there yet.
Yeah, I would say like a 7. That one was better.
All right. You ready to fucking go into the meat and potatoes?
The meat and potatoes, bro?
The old meat and potatoes? Wakanda forever, dog?
Wakanda forever, dude?
Fuck yeah.
Kukukan?
Starring Kamaru Usman? My fuck you. My boy.
Should be
directed by
Ghana.
It should be. Directed by Ryan Coogler. Letitia Wright's in this. Obviously, this is a sequel to the first Black Panther movie. We do not have Chadwick Boseman, but we get a hell of a memorial in the beginning and a nice little, a little something at the end, too. This made a $250 million budget. It made $855. Very good earnings. Not as good as the first one, but post-pandemic, that's a damn good box office. Our initial thoughts on this movie. We'll get right into spoilers soon because we already kind of gave a little bit earlier. But what were your initial thoughts going into this? Did you have as much excitement? Did you give a shit?
I was nervous.
Why were you nervous?
I was nervous going into the movie because the first one is in my top 5 favorite of all of the Marvel movies. And with Chadwick dying and especially the way he died, I was very nervous if they were going to live up to the potential, not only of the character, but like of the movie as a whole.
That's fair.
But in my, I don't know. It's still weird to me to see Shuri as Black Panther. It's something I'm going to have to get used to. I'm not against it. It's just not something I ever expected to see.
No,
from the give, like from the beginning.
Fucking Marvel didn't, you know?
Well, yeah, I know.
Marvel didn't fucking see it coming. No one thought it was going to happen, but. You know, this is the deck we were kind of given. And for them kind of being pushed to the corner.
With what they had, I think they did an exceptionally good job. With what they were dealt with.
I completely agree. I really do. You nailed it on the head. I think they did an exceptional job. Because not having – coming back for a sequel based on a superhero – And not having said superhero, you know, it's kind of a recipe for disaster. It sounds like you're going to bomb. But they did it so inventive, and they did it so well. And they focused on all the other characters, not just Shuri. This isn't just a Shuri movie. That's what you got to remember. This is, about the Queen for a while. This is a Namor movie. Even though he's like, you could say he's the villain, but Namor, those of us that know Namor know he's much more than that. You know, this is a movie based on a lot, and it's just based on Wakanda as a whole. And I think the choice to do that was very smart because that's like in a place like Marvel, where you do have fantastical settings like DC, but also a lot of it is very based in reality. That was Stan Lee's idea. You got your New Yorks, you know, you got like a lot of it is based. Like, you got real cities. It's not fucking Gotham City and Metropolis and shit. But you have a really cool country that you created called Wakanda with a world building of its own and, you know, its own, like, atmosphere pretty much and vibe. And to kind of focus on that because, you know, Chadwick's gone, I thought it was a smart play.
Yeah, and not only that, they made a whole second world originally. They made it work. The only thing, like, about the movie that, because there's a lot, I only have, like, really one dislike about the movie. So I'm just going to say that, and then we'll talk about all the good shit about it. Like, the one thing about the movie I didn't really like is Namor is not that powerful. He's very powerful, but he's not powerful enough where he can solo-handedly go into fucking Wakanda and take out the whole fucking city. For the whole country.
No, he's not. He's done some crazy shit in the comics, though.
He's done some crazy shit. Like I said, he's a very powerful character, but he's not powerful enough to go to break into Wakanda and then annihilate the whole fucking country by himself.
Yeah.
I just think that's a little, like, overpowering. Like, Aquaman is a lot stronger of a character than Namor. Like, if those two fought, Aquaman would definitely win that fight. And Aquaman wouldn't even be able to do that.
No. No, I agree.
But other than that, like, I thought it was a really good movie. Like, the memorial, I thought was done very well. Because it not only did it feel like they were burying the character, but it... I'm going to be honest, when I was watching the memorial part of the movie, I didn't even feel like that we were, like, the memorial was even for the Black Panther character. Like, the entire time, I just kept, like, thinking of, like, just Chadwick, not Black Panther, not T'Challa, just Chadwick. I like how they kind of blocked out the movie setting for that scene and made it very in reality.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I do think that they did. It wasn't about the characters. And I think that was a good
point. Only thing, like, they did to, like, shout out the character is that the funeral took place in Wakanda and, like, they did the Wakandan funeral. But, like, other than that, like, everything they were saying and the images that they were showing and, like, the conversations, like, it was hard not to think just about the actor and not the character.
Yep.
It was like, that's what the whole scene of that movie was really about. It was more than the character. That's why they gave you the setting of the character, but they made the moment feel more than that.
Yeah, they did. They really did. And I thought they did it in a good way. I thought it was done really well. One thing I did not love, well, I don't know if I don't like it, but do you think that the Queen's death kind of, I don't want to say took away from anything, but do you think it was, like, a little much, especially for Cherie, who's, like, losing everybody now? Or do you think it worked as a plot moment?
I don't think it should have been the mother. I don't know what the character's name is in the world, but the actress that played Michonne in The Walking Dead, the leader of the old general of the army, I think it should have been her who died, not the mother.
Really?
Yeah, because that's, like, her close friend. Like, she literally just lost her brother, and now she's got to lose her mother. It should have been, like, the friend she lost, not the mother.
Yeah, that's
the general
a lot
should
to
have
play
been,
on Cherie. Yeah.
Because not only did they struggle with fucking, I mean, they succeeded in doing it, but, like, having to really thread that fine line of having to do this movie without Chadwick, without Boseman. Now they got to do this movie, the next movie, without Chadwick and without Angela Bassett.
Who's a badass fucking actress.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she did great as the queen, too. I thought she, like, before she died, ran the movie, pretty much.
Yeah, Angela Bassett's, like, one of the best female actors of all time.
But I also, I do like how they kind of had, because I didn't really see it coming, if I didn't already know about it. I like how they had her as, like, the main character through the first half and Cherie was through the second. I thought that really kind of made the movie work in an interesting way. Because it's like, all right, yeah. Now she's dead. Now we got to see the daughter figure this shit out. And I thought she looked fine in the Black Panther costume. I thought, you know, obviously a slicker look being a smaller woman instead of a man, but I thought she did a good job. I really did.
Right. No, she definitely did. She did a really good job.
And yeah, Namor was a little OP'd. I don't disagree with you. I think he was pretty overpowered. But I do think that they did Namor.
Marvel's been doing that.
Huh?
Marvel's been doing that. They've been making their characters a little overpowered. They did it with Scarlet Witch and Multiverse of Madness, and now they did it with Namor.
The fucked up thing is they'll do that, and then they'll make the actual overpowered ones kind of pushy-ish sometimes, like Hulk getting hit by a car. That can't happen.
I know.
They literally
made their second strongest character a bitch.
Yeah, it's just so they just overpower the wrong people. Like it's like, and Scarlet Witch. I mean, if you go with the comics, this bitch could do some crazy shit. But I do agree with what you're saying. Like taking out Professor X is a little much.
I can see her doing everything else she did in the movie, but the fact that she just completely annihilated Professor X like that's where I was like, oh, fucking okay. That would never fucking happen.
Especially, well, that five in particular would never happen. Like, Captain Carter, badass. Captain Marvel.
Yeah, but with the mind control and the telekinesis, it could absolutely happen. Maybe not Reed Richards because of his intelligence. He might be able to, like,
That group of five should not have gotten their ass kicked as easy as they did. That's like a good group right there.
Fucking Reed being literally the smartest dude in the universe, and he immediately fucking tells her the strongest dude in their team's weakness in the first fucking sentence he says to her.
Yeah.
Like, you fucking dumbass. The smartest dude in the universe makes the dumbest fucking mistake.
That's funny. Yeah. But I thought this movie was good.
Yeah.
This movie was better than that movie. And this movie was better than Thor and Love and Thunder, Black Widow.
Absolutely.
This might be one of the better post-Endgame flicks.
That's another OP character Marvel has that they've extremely dropped the ball with.
Who?
Thor.
Oh, yeah.
Thor.
We're not talking about that piece of shit right now. And Thor and Love and Thunder. Because I'd rather burn
Both of his movies are a piece of shit. But him as a character, like, I don't know. I like Chris Hemsworth playing him. I just don't think Kevin Feige's, like, vision of Thor has been that great.
Well, I don't like it because it's been an inconsistent vision. Like, we don't really
it
know
has
who
been.
Thor
like,
is.
He's not that strong. Like, he's not, like, the Thor I'm used to reading in a comic book. Like, the Thor in the comic book would fucking run miles around the fucking movie version of Thor.
Yeah. Yeah, he would. And I agree. And just the first two were kind of boring, a superhero filler, and then the fucking Ragnarok really turned it up, and then the fourth one really fucking blew the bed bad.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's where I was getting excited, like in Ragnarok, or not Ragnarok, in Infinity War, when he showed up from creating the Stormcaller.
Yeah.
Or whatever the name of that axe is. And he smashes it down and channels all that lightning all over the place. So I was like, oh, okay, here we go. Some badass Thor. Next movie, he's 500 pounds and doesn't fucking do anything. I'm like, oh, fucking okay, dude, here we go.
Yeah, Infinity War Thor was fucking cool.
I know. That's where I was like, all right, dude, we're getting to a little bit more comic accurate version of Thor here. And then that's when Endgame came out. I'm like, okay, now he's a fat sack of shit who can barely fucking move and he's playing Fortnite with Korg. Like, oh, fucking K, dude. This shit's fucking stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, Black Panther shits all over that movie.
Oh, 100%. I thought this movie was very good, but I still think Black Panther 1 blows this one out of the water.
Oh, yeah. But Black Panther 1 didn't have what this has going against it, so.
No, it didn't. Not at all.
And it had set up, it had, like, that movie was perfect, almost. That movie was fucking amazing. But this movie, for everything that was against it, I think it was a damn good sequel. And I thought it did a lot of things right. And there was only a few things where I was like, eh.
The one thing about this movie that was kind of left out from the first one is I didn't feel there was as much unity in this movie as there was in the first one.
Elaborate.
Because, like, in the first one, like, they show, like, how, like, how united all the people of Wakanda are and how they stand together and this, this, and that. In this movie, you don't really see anybody else besides the mother, Shuri, and the other one, the guard, the general. And, like, nobody else, there's not really much unity. And, like, at the end of the first movie, everybody in the audience and in the theater is chanting Wakanda. Or Wakanda forever, Wakanda forever. At this one, you weren't chanting anything at the end of the movie. I just felt like there was more unity amongst, like, the civilization and, like, that social group of people and that builds, like, characters in that country. And then versus this movie, I didn't really feel like there was a lot of unity in comparison.
You're not wrong.
It was more isolated.
It was more isolated, but I think it's because it's a different movie. And the first one was literally about Wakanda and uniting Wakanda and like them uniting over one vision, whether it would be Killmonger's more ruthless vision or, you know, Chadwick's more peaceful vision or T'Challa. And this one was more about the fight with Namor. Now, could they have shown the troops uniting and everybody uniting to go fight Namor or whatever and all the blue people and all that shit? Yeah, sure, why not? Kamaru Usman could have been fucking, you know, hanging out with other people and shit. But they did show a little bit of that at the end. You did have a little camaraderie at the end, before the whole kid shit.
Right.
It was there. It was there a little bit. But I do see what you're saying. It wasn't there a lot like the first one.
No, because, like, in the first one, you felt like when you're watching the movie, you feel like you're, like, you are, like, a Wakandan. Like, you feel like you're part of the movie. And this one, it didn't really feel like that.
I agree. I agree.
It was still really good, though. Like, I give this movie, like, an 8, and I give the first one, like, an 8.5. Well, yeah, I give this movie like an 8.
You give it an 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, I give it an 8, too.
I liked how the another thing, too, is they tried not to copy DC and do the Atlantis thing. So they came up with an original idea and they made up a whole new city. And, like, they didn't fuck it up. It actually, like, worked. That other city was actually pretty cool. I like that they didn't do Atlantis.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, that's where Namor's from, Atlantis. He's not from that country. That country was made up for the movie.
I thought Tolkien was fine, though. I didn't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was fine. That's what I was saying. Like, I'm glad that they didn't do Atlantis and, like, copied DC and did, like, the water dude from Atlantis for the movie, and they did a different city. And, like, a whole different, like, race of people and everything.
Yeah, I think that actually worked surprisingly well. Because I think DC, I think it would have felt too much copycat. Even though it was first, I think it would have felt too much copycat because DC got to that first. But I will say, the water effects in this were not as cool as James Wan's Aquaman for me. I love Coogler as a director.
Yeah, I definitely agree. His Aquaman movie was way better. But, I mean, Namor was only the secondary character in the movie. James Wan had a whole team to work with.
I agree. I'm just saying, like, the shots, like, when Ciri's going into, you know, Tolkien, and she's seeing all, in the water and shit, she's looking how beautiful everything is. Like, we got that scene with Aquaman and Mira, and that scene was 10 times more fucking breathtaking with Aquaman. Like, 10 times more. This was like, oh, look at the kids and shit. But it wasn't like, oh, my God, this is, like, some of the best special effects I've ever seen. Whereas, like, what they did with the water scenes in fucking Aquaman was, like, next level.
Yeah.
Just my opinion.
I agree. No, I agree. I thought the water effects were definitely better in Aquaman.
But I thought Namor himself, they did very well. I think he was comic accurate to where he needed to be, but not too comic accurate.
Power level. That's the only thing bad about it was his power level. He was just overpowered. Other than that, like, his character, like, his personality as a character was where it needed to be. The actor's portrayal was where it needed to be. The costume was very accurate.
And honestly, it was a little better than the comics, in my eyes. Because I thought this dude was a little more badass in the way he acted. And, like, Namor can come across as a bit of a douchebag all the time. And he's supposed to be a dick, but he comes across pussy-ish, too. And this guy didn't at all. This guy looked like a tough motherfucker. So, I like Namor. And Namor's not my favorite fucking Marvel character. But I did like Namor, and I thought it was good. I thought the whole movie was good. Yeah, I'd agree on an 8 out of 10. You're all right.
It was definitely 8 out of 10 for sure. It was a good movie.
Oh, yeah. And we'll definitely hit some more Black Panther content at some point. Definitely should do a reading assignment or something.
Yeah. Definitely.
In the future. Now, do you want to go over a little bit of the Snyderverse plans? We went about an hour here. You want to go a little more?
I don't care.
All right. Now, I do have some fucking sacred plans here. I mean, they're all over the internet. You can find them yourself with a Google search. But there was some things that Zack Snyder had planned for the DCEU that's kind of fucking nuts, but also some that held merit. Would you like to hear them, Bob?
Yeah, sure. Let's go with it. I'm a big Snyder fan.
All right. So obviously we get the Justice League, the Snyder Cut, everything builds up to the Snyder Cut. But then afterwards, we're going to get a Flash movie, basically with Ezra, but it's supposed to be years earlier. And we're going to get a Cyborg movie. We already knew that. That's something that was kind of, it seemed to be a plan already. In between all that, because we're building up to Justice League 2, Part 1. And in between all that, we have Lex Luthor, who is played by Jesse Eisenberg, and he's getting together the Legion of Doom. Now, the Legion of Doom is going to consist of Eisenberg, Dr. Poison from the Wonder Woman movie, Black Manta, Ocean Master, Captain Cold, and the Riddler. Now, I don't know about you, Bobby, but that's a weak fucking that's a weak Legion of Doom lineup. Come on.
Really? Not even Leto's Joker wasn't even in it?
No. Leto's Joker isn't on here for that.
No Grodd?
No Grodd. It's just that group.
All right.
Kind of ass, right? But, I mean, I think, like, Captain Cold and shit made sense because of Flash, and obviously he's going to show up in the Flash movie. But the one main thing I wanted to kind of run by you, and this is something we've talked about a little bit in the past, but even though Matt Reeves changed the movie and the Batman versus with Pattinson and everything, that villain was always going to be the Riddler. Or no, it wasn't always going to be the Riddler. It was going to be Deathstroke, but the Riddler was going to be there. because obviously we're going to get Joe Manganiello's Deathstroke versus Batman. That's a plan we already know, and Bobby, if I could ask you the excitement level for that, that's still the one thing you want to happen.
Yeah, Ben Affleck versus Joe Manganiello, that would have been a dream come true.
But in that, Riddler would have been hanging out. Now, Riddler's in Luthor's team, and the Riddler has a unique purpose in this universe. And what he does is solve the anti-life equation. Now, he solves the anti-life equation for Luthor so Luthor can, you know, get Darkseid on board. But when he does that, he's going nuts. He's going insane. And he finally solved the ultimate riddle. And then he shoots himself after. Do you think that would have been a good idea?
Yes and no.
Yes and no?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would have sucked. It's a cool idea.
It would have Doing it exactly that way would have sucked. But if I would have done it with, like, I still wouldn't have him solve the anti-life equation, but I wouldn't have him shoot himself afterwards.
You wouldn't
I would have him, like, actually tell Darkseid. And, like, let shit hit the fan for a while. I mean, I felt like it could have worked and it couldn't work. Riddler solving the equation and then going insane, I think that's a clever idea that definitely could have worked. It's just everything else about it is just a little weird.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's fucking weird. Also in this, a big reveal is that Superman stopped kind of being Clark. He's just Superman now. So Clark Kent, as everybody knows, Clark Kent is dead after Batman versus Superman. And it's just Superman flying around. He also finds a positive pregnancy test in Lois's drawer. And then Batman walks up to him and says, congratulations. Now, one of the big and contested things, and one of the biggest shocking twists of this whole thing that was supposed to happen, and this is kind of skipping ahead a bit, but I didn't want to go over all the plans like fucking, like a reading assignment. I'd rather just fucking, you know, talk about the big ones. Batman was supposed to have an affair with Lois Lane. Bruce was going to clap those reporter cheeks because they think Clark's dead. And this is in between Batman versus Superman and Justice League. So they don't know. They don't know that he's going to come back and all this shit. They fuck. And it's revealed that, you know, Lois is with Bruce's child. How do you feel about that, Bobby?
That I don't like.
It's a little nuts, right?
That one's a little gnarly.
Yeah, that was one. When I heard that, I was like, "What?" But it's like apparently that was the plan, and the whole thing. Batman dies at the end, and then Superman just raises his kid. But it's like, no. No. Another big thing that happens is during the big fight, you know, with the Legion of Doom, you know, Eisenberg calls over to Darkseid with the mother boxes and the anti-life equation, and Darkseid shows up, and since he wants to control Superman because he's so powerful, that's when Eisenberg says Lois Lane is the key. And you know, Darkseid obviously kills Lois Lane, which we kind of knew, which sets up the nightmare vision and everything. And then we get, you know, evil Superman. This is kind of something we knew what was going to happen, but a lot of people are sick of evil Superman. What did you think?
How can you be sick of it, really, when this is the first time we've seen it in live action?
Because of Injustice and all that shit.
Yeah, but before that movie came out, it was a fucking video game and a very limited comic book series.
I agree. But, like, Red Sun and, like, a lot of, like, there's a lot of other continuity, like, Ultraman, too. Like, comic fans, I think, are sick of it. I don't think casual audiences are.
I don't know. I like the idea of Superman going evil because that makes the League have to do something, change their plan a lot differently. But then getting Clark back at the end is what I hope Zach would have done. Is getting Clark back on the hero side before the end of the last fight.
Yeah. Now, one of Snyder's ideas for Justice League 2 Part 2, because it would be like a Harry Potter type deal and be in two parts. The ragtag group that he puts together in the nightmare world that we see at the end of Snyder Cut, the Flash, Cyborg, Mira, himself, the other person we see with them is Deathstroke. But that wasn't the original.
And Joker.
And Joker. They go to pick up Joker. But Deathstroke wasn't the original plan. It was going to be Will Smith's Deadshot. That's interesting. Why not, right?
I mean, why not just have both of them?
Well, I mean, they might have added him later, but the original plan was Deadshot. Because I think they were going to play Deathstroke as more just a straight heel. For what I heard, the Batman with Ben Affleck, like, Deathstroke was going to go pretty personal. So I don't know if you can really redeem him after that. But
right.
If you're going to redeem the Joker, then who fucking knows, right? Now, another big thing was that the last surviving Green Lantern in the original storyboard was going to be Hal Jordan. At least it was strongly implied. And, you know, like, Snyder's even said, he was kind of like tossing around the idea of fucking Reynolds coming back. I'm glad that didn't happen. But what do you think about a last surviving Lantern, Hal Jordan? I think that's a little silly. I'm glad we kind of got what we're getting now. Especially because he wanted to put John Snort in the Snyder Cut. So obviously a lot of these plans change as movies got made and shit.
Yeah. I don't think that's actually a bad idea. Because if Hal's the only last surviving Lantern, Hal's going to go fucking berserk. And we're going to get a hell of a fucking action scene, especially if Zack Snyder's directing it. We're going to get a hell of a fucking lash-out fucking action scene from Hal Jordan. He's just going to, like, blow a planet up or something, dude.
Yeah.
And that's like a weapon they can use to help win the fight is Hal Jordan angry. Because everybody knows when Hal Jordan's not a good guy, hence the Parallax series, not a good time.
No, it's not a good time. It's a fun time, but not a good time.
But like if he did that as like a plan to kind of use that as an emotional tool to bring out that like mass destruction level of weaponry that Hal Jordan can be given the right emotion.
Yeah.
It would have been pretty cool.
I think it would have been cool too. Now, while all this is going down, Flash and Cyborg are kind of doing their own thing. And By the way, Leto's Joker wasn't really involved in any of this, so anybody waiting for that? Like, the reason he got put in the nightmare thing at the end, because that was all new footage shot at the end of the Snyder Cut, was that Snyder thought that his Batman and Joker should have had at least one conversation, which is fair. But
right.
At first, he wasn't really in the plans moving forward. I think they were probably going to see how the shit went. But a big plan for Barry Allen is that him and Cyborg are working on, you know, using a mother box to help power the cosmic treadmill. Now, Bobby, we're huge fans of the comics, Flash in particular, and you know how important the cosmic treadmill is.
Yeah.
And that's basically what, and they're going to kind of pay it off and show us that he used the cosmic treadmill to talk to Bruce in Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
And that's how he, like, shows up and says Lois is the key and all that shit.
Right.
Which I think is a cool story beat. I thought that's pretty sick.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Because that was the whole play. Like, it's basically like where they are in the Snyder Cut when they see Superman. Superman kills all of them, and then Flash goes back in time and tells that to Bruce. Which I think that works.
Yeah, I think it does too.
So, during all this, and the reason, and because Flash comes back and tells him that, Lois tells Bruce that he's the father of the kid and all this shit. And because of this, when Darkseid comes, you know, because this is all time travel bullshit and everything, so you go back to the battle at Justice League 2 Part 1. When Darkseid arrives to kill Lois, Batman leaps in front of her and gets hit with the Omega Beams. And, you know, he dies. Kind of like in Final Crisis, but except he doesn't do it to, you know, sacrifice himself. He just gets fucked up trying to kill Darkseid.
Right.
This whole You're the Father, this whole, like, Jerry Springer bullshit is stupid. But I do think, like, it's an interesting idea.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it could have worked. It could have not worked. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know. So in the end, basically, Flash becomes one with the Speed Force. You know, Cyborg basically becomes, like, a technological god. Aquaman, you know, keeps running the Seven Kingdoms. You know, Superman lives happily with Lois and all that shit. And, you know, Bruce is dead. And Martian Manhunter, right. Green Lantern, the Amazons, the Atlanteans, they all get together for that big fight against Darkseid at the end. Do you think these plans would have worked, or do you think they needed for sure tweakage?
I think they could have worked. Some of the earlier stuff, I think, should have been stayed away from, but I think most of it could have worked, for sure. Evil Superman, and then, as long as they brought Superman back to the hero side of things before the final battle, that's the only way I see it working. Because there's no way that they're, without Superman, that they're going to beat Darkseid while he has Superman on his side, and beat Darkseid at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. I do kind of like what we're getting now a little better, because what we're getting now doesn't seem so final, too. It seems like Snyder wanted to tell a story and then be done after, which you can't blame him, but still. I kind of like that we're kind of like having a growing story now, instead of, you know, this, 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 and this. I do think some of his plans, like what we would have gotten was an all-Asian Ryan Choi Adam movie.
Yeah.
Now, I know you don't, you're probably not, I don't know how big of a fan you are of Ryan Choi. I don't know if you've read a lot of them. But I think that's a cool idea.
It is. I know enough about the character.
I like Ray Palmer, but Ryan Choi's a pretty good, you know, backup for him. And Yeah, I thought that would have worked. I think that's about it, Babo.
I know Zach wanted the Green Arrow.
Zach wanted the Green Arrow. There's probably a bunch of other shit that he had in mind, but never really made page or, you know, got written down or anything. But that's what we kind of know.
And I'm glad he included Martian, because I don't know why Martian never gets fucking paid attention to.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But all right, brother. We'll see everybody next week. What do you want to do next week?
I don't know. We got 45 more minutes. Let's talk about it.
What'd you say?
What do you want to do? We got 40 more minutes. Let's talk about it.
All right. I don't fucking know, bro. We'll save our debate for a little longer. You want to do Green Arrow finally?
We could. First of all, for one, love on your fucking cat before she blows a fucking head gasket. I've been hearing her for the last half an hour try to get your attention.
I think you're being a little drastic, but I'm scratching her ass as we speak. All right.
We can do a little Green Arrow. You want to do a reading assignment this week?
Sure. You got one? Okay, no.
No, I don't. I'm thinking. Gotta figure something out here, dude.
What the fuck do you want to do, dude?
I mean, I don't know, man. You're the fucking co-host here. I'm a co-host. I'm out of ideas. You gotta help me out here, dude.
All right, let's fuck, because you've been bitching about me for a while. Let's do the first arc of Monkey Prince.
Hell yeah.
You can reread that. I know it's pretty fresh in your mind, but I'll read that this week, and we'll give the people some Monkey Prince.
It's a good series.
All right.
Hell yeah.
That's what
and
we're doing.
If you own a video game console, get your ass to your local video game store or the online store and get your Hogwarts Legacy downloaded. For all you Harry Potter fans out there.
That's fucking good, huh? You're turning it on now.
I might be. It's fantastic, dude.
That's what you're fucking doing. I heard the play.
I just might fucking be. It's a fantastic game.
Yes, it is. We'll see everybody next week. I got shit to do.
No, you fucking don't, dude. It's like 8:30 and
I got fucking shit to do, bro. I'll see you around.
Okay, yeah, whatever. Yeah.